One of the biggest misconceptions I see in business is that when things stop feeling good in your business, that you need to inject yourself with more discipline, you need a better strategy, you need another course. And I know that you know that we know that I don't think that's true, right? Because I think more often than not, you have simply become almost disconnected from the version of you who loved building your business in the first place. And we know she ain't gone anywhere, but she has almost been buried underneath the pressure to get it right, the constant overthinking, the never-ending search for the next answer, and that belief that if you just worked a little bit harder, that everything would click into place. Now, this is exactly why I wanted to bring Therese, my one-to-one, onto the podcast today and share her success story with you. Because when Therese first came into my world, she was overwhelmed. She was constantly multitasking. She was worrying about money. She was convinced that she needed to work harder to create more, and in this constant cycle. And actually, through our container and the story that you are about to listen to, our time together was truly about helping her reconnect with the parts of herself that she had kind of lost building, you know, as she was building this successful business. She'd lost the fun. She'd lost the creativity. She'd lost the curiosity and the part of her which eventually became known as Sparky Sparks, which you will meet in this podcast interview. But honestly, I think so many of you are going to hear yourself in this conversation. And I am so excited to have Therese on the podcast today. So let's get into it. Welcome to The Subconscious Expert. I'm your host, Rebecca Hayden, NLP trainer, subconscious business mentor, and founder of a multi-six-figure business that's helped hundreds of ambitious female entrepreneurs break through to their next level. This podcast is for the moment where you can feel the next level call in and you're ready to actually step into it, to become the woman who already knows she can have it all. Every Tuesday, we go beyond surface level advice and dive into the subconscious patterns that help you hold more. Here we combine business strategy with real subconscious work so you get practical tools and deep transformation. Consider this your gentle kick up the arse. Let's get into today's episode. So from my very beautiful intro, I have the gorgeous Therese with me here today. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Say hello to everyone.
Hello. Hello, I'm Therese. I run Mindling.se, a Swedish-based therapy business working with inner child healing and emotional regulation.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on today. I'm very excited for us to get into it. We have had quite the journey together.
We have. It's been a year.
A year. Yeah, literally a year, pretty much nearly to the date. Because actually you started in my world with This Is Who I Am Now, which is my iconic challenge that is making a comeback for this year too. And then we went on to a container together. Then we had a little break. And then we've just recently come out of a container together. So we're going to be talking a bit of here, there and everywhere. But start with telling us where you were when you came into This Is Who I Am Now. Because I know that's still having major effects on you to this day, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like constantly stuck in overwhelm, constantly stuck in multitasking, stress, always worried about money. Always in a kind of a scarcity mindset and not really seeing the way forward. So that's where I was. And then I worked through This Is Who I Am Now, and my mind was blown, Beck. I'm just saying, my mind was blown, okay? and I just felt I need more from this woman.
Yes. And I remember it being, you know, something that you still say to yourself literally to this day. I know you say, you know, this is who I am now, and we still have, you know, jokes about that even now, don't we?
Yeah, and it's still on my, I have the sticker on my computer, like every time it's still there. It's like, this is who I am now. It's like still there.
I love it. And I think you saw such a big shift during that time with the evidence that we were building and the way that we, you know, the way that I created that challenge really allowed you to like step into this new version of yourself, didn't it? And then we carried on doing the work with that. If you would have described your relationship with your business back then, for example, what feelings, what thoughts It, like, how would you have described it back then?
I remember back then it was a lot to do about money. Like, there's never enough money. Money can't come to me. I don't have enough. It's like difficult. It's hard. I have to work hard for it. I can't trust it. So there was a lot about that at that time. So I think my the question I came to you with was about money mindset, but I think that we covered a lot of other things, but they were all connected to that, to the money mindset.
Yeah,
thing.
And we did find quite a lot of avenues that would bring us back to similar situations and similar experiences that you'd been part of. And even to this container that we've just come out of, there were still the like intricacies within that, wasn't there? So that was really fascinating, I think, for you to see in the way of like, oh, it's just the money. And then it became so much more than the money, didn't it? Which is really powerful. Did you remember what you believed back then? Like, what were some of the common beliefs that you were saying to yourself, or what were the thoughts that you were having?
Well, I think like there was always this sense of urgency, like I have to do everything, I have to do it now. And like the thing with, which also, of course, was one of the reasons why I was in constant overwhelm, because I felt like, I remember the first time I heard you speak about working intentionally, and it was just like, you know, my mind was just blown from that, because I had not thought of that earlier. I was like, I have to do everything and I have to do it now. There was like a very constant stress, which kind of led me into bursts of energy and long periods of depletion, basically, like where I had like no energy, no creativity, no, you know, nothing of those good juicy bits that you want to run a business.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that kind of nicely brings us to what we've been working on recently, is the juicy bits of the business, isn't it? And I think that kind of that disconnect that you almost felt with the fun and the joy and the creativity and the way that you wanted it to be. And I know that was very much part of the container that we've just been in and what we've been working on. And I remember when we first started working together this time, that we did have this conversation around you feeling like you'd lost your spark and kind of lost yourself almost, or parts of yourself. What did that feel like for you day to day in the business?
Oh, that was a really heavy feeling. It was like, I love being a therapist. I was just so fed up with marketing my business, like creating the content. And I had learned so much about strategy and how to strategize. And I was just so, which is really interesting to me, because I've never seen myself as like a perfectionist, but I was so stuck on, I have to do it right. I have to do it correctly. I have to do it, you know, it has to be like bang for the buck. If I put something up on Instagram, it has to, you know, go viral. It was not maybe the expectation, but along those lines anyway. So I was so attached to the outcome of things that I had completely, and the thing that you said, that I'd had lost parts of myself. I'm usually a quite funny, if I may say
she
so
is,
myself.
She is. I can confirm.
Fun, thank you. Fun and funny and fun loving and easygoing. And it was like that part was just gone. I was like, where is this part, you know? Because I was so focused on getting things right, it just took away all the fun of everything. And I couldn't find the fun. I couldn't find it. So that was, it was heavy and it was quite sad, to be honest. And that thing about not recognizing yourself, I felt very lost.
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of avenues in your life where it was showing up as well as the business. You know, you were like, who am I nowadays? Like, it was almost that question of like, who is me, you know, like that bigger question that I think we all get to the point of asking. I think when we've had a successful business and when we have success, which you definitely have, and you have that experience, we almost lose that kind of childlike way of being that we had right at the beginning of our business. And I know so many of my clients go through this, where you just get into the day to day and then we're like churning out the content, and then it's been a couple of years and here we are still doing the same thing. And I think there's so many more people going through that and losing the spark and losing the joy and losing the fun. that's why I was so excited to kind of speak about this part of what we did together, because I know it's going to resonate with so many people. Especially, like I said, you know, at the beginning, it's all fun. It's all like, oh, and what am I learning next? And like, we're just like a big sponge. And then you're like, wait, the sponge is full. I can't physically yeah. add anything more. Which brings me nicely onto Sparky Sparks.
Oh, I'm a sparky spark.
Now, this was one of our very, very first sessions. And I feel like we have to introduce everyone to Sparky Sparks. And you're going to know what we're talking about in a minute. Because I feel like they genuinely came on the journey with us. And it was a big part of how we reconnected you back to that joy and back to that fun. So tell us who Sparky Spark is. Like, tell everyone who she is.
Well, Sparky Sparks is this little glowing, I don't know, entity. Is that a word? It's like this little glowing entity that represents all of my, you know, creativity, fun, curiosity, courage, lust, like all the good things, and we had kind of lost contact, Sparky Sparks and I, but she did show up during one of our exercises, and she was like right on my shoulder. She was like whispering in my ear, and she's like, "You're supposed to follow me, you know. You're supposed to follow me." And it took a while before we could truly reconnect. But once we did connect, it feels like it's impossible to not be connected to Sparky Sparks. I have conversations daily with Sparky Sparks yes. right now. Like, Sparky, are you here? You know, are we working
with
together
me today?
Yeah, and if Sparky is not around, maybe we're not doing the creativity thing today. Maybe we're doing something else, or maybe I need to, like, you know, get in the right mood to connect with Sparky, because Sparky needs to lead the way, Sparky Sparks.
Yeah, we love Sparky Sparks. And I think from like a listener point of view, you know, there's so many times where you're having situations where we have parts of ourselves that come in, and they come in quite strong, and we start to believe them, and we're like, no, this is how it is. And there are parts that can hold us back purely because they're protecting us from, you know, what we've been through and the protection that they want to give at that time. But Sparky Sparks really was a part of you that we were reconnecting to, and especially through the fun and the creativity and everything that you wanted to bring into the business. I know it was a bigger question than just finding your creativity. It was about finding who you wanted to be in your marketing, in your business. It was a much bigger question, you know, that kind of came out of that. But I really truly felt that helped you really find the fun again. I know we had a conversation, which I did ask prior to this podcast interview for okay to speak about.
Yes.
But there was so many times once we'd like tapped into Sparky Sparks that you kind of started to bring yourself parts of those, you know, you back online. Can you tell people about that? Do you mind sharing?
Yeah, because Sparky Sparks was like, you're allowed to have fun, you know, and that's the thing. Like, the spark had not just gone away in my business, it had basically gone away in my life. I found it hard to connect to fun at all, you know. And then there was this time with my husband, we were kind of joking around, and he said something, and I didn't quite hear what he said. And he just like, no, if you're not listening, I'm not going to tell you. And I was like, oh, please, please tell me. And then he's like, no, I'm not going to tell you. So I flashed my boobs and like, please tell me. And we both laughed, and he told me whatever it was. And it was just this fun moment. And that's just, it's like, here I am, I'm here again, you know, like that fun loving, weirdo, crazy part of me just like popped up again. And I was like, Sparky made it happen. This is what happened when Sparky leads. We get to have fun. And this is like if there's a message that Sparky Sparks keeps telling me, it's like, you're allowed to have fun. You're supposed to have fun, you know? So it kind of, and like when you're having fun, it leads the way. Like, fun shouldn't be nice to have. It's a have to have. Yeah. It's like the thing that you need to bring in order to, you know, this is a longevity sport. This is what you need to be able to be in it for the long run. We need to have the fun. And especially me, who's been like a fun, funny, happy going person, I need that. I need that. And I realize how much I missed it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the flashing of the boobs became the metaphor of the container, because I would say, right, go forth, write content and flash your boobs.
Yeah.
Not in that
and then
way.
You were very clear about I wouldn't actually be flashing my boobs on Instagram.
I was very clear about the metaphor.
Like the proverbial boobs.
But actually it opened this whole avenue in your business. And I know we did a lot of exploration into, you know, your offers that you already had and the containers that you already had and how to create more space to have the creativity within them as well. And I know that that really, yeah, that kind of you're allowed to have fun, you're supposed to have fun. What do you think, what made that become the reminder for you? Like, what did that reminder do for you then in your business once we got to that point?
It made me less scared. It made me less scared. And I was so focused, you know, doing the right thing. I have to put the right thing out. I have to say the right stuff, film it in the right angle, blah, 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 blah. And then it was just like, fuck it. You know, just put the camera on, shoot the thing, say the stuff, be weird, be crazy, do the crazy dance, say the contrarian view. I mean, it made me want to experiment again. Like we said, like the first thing that I had when I started out with Instagram, when I had like 25 followers and I was just like, it doesn't matter because no one's going to see it. And now like I had 25,000 followers and it's been like, oh, everyone's going to see it. And, but it made me just less scared to experiment. So I'm back to like, I'm just going to try things. I'm just going to try stuff. And I'm not so attached to the outcome as I am to the actual process of doing things. Was it fun? Did I enjoy it? Did I feel like I contributed? I, of course, do still look at my likes and my comments.
It's, yeah, which is a good part of business. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the thing, you know? And it's just like, oh, so this post, you know, went off and this did not. And it's just, it's like a shoulder shrug. It's just like, okay, so I'll make something else tomorrow. It's not going to stop me. So it made me less scared, more brave, and happier.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Because I think that is really, you know, social media is changing, ever evolving. It's something that we do have to do as business owners. It is something that is a massive part of the business is marketing. And I think, you know, the state that you were just explaining then and how you were saying, you know, how you're creating now versus how you were creating in the way of like, it has to be this and I need to do that. And like all of these have to, need to, should do, must do, those sort of kind of really jail type words that were like really cramping the creativity and not letting old sparky sparks come out at all. It was not enjoyable for you. There was no return anyway in the way of like, you know, the way that you were doing it was, it wasn't you coming out as well. So actually like now, you know, from the shift and the energy behind that and the way that you've been doing that behind that, I think is just so beautiful to see. And I know obviously I can't understand any of your content, but I can feel the energy of your content. That's, you know, very, very different. There was a session that we had where we went through the great unfollow. And I think many, many people will resonate with this in the way of the comparison and looking, you know, what we need, what we should be doing again, all these shoulds and all of those. When did you realize that you've become almost so busy at kind of looking at everyone else and what everyone else was doing that you kind of stopped listening to yourself?
I think it was quite late in this container that we had actually, but I just realized that my feed wasn't feeding me. It was depleting me. And I also realized that I had started following like all these business coaches who gave great advice, but they're also quite like someone says do this and the other one says do the exact opposite. And I also was following a lot of therapists and like, what are they doing? And I that kind of blocked me in a way. It made me more stressed, more getting the feeling that I was doing things wrong, that I wasn't doing the right thing, that I was so, you know, anxious and eager to do. So I just felt like I need to unfollow a bunch of people. And some of these people I know personally, so it was quite hard, but I was like, I just need to do this for my mental health. And within days of doing the great unfollow, I just felt lighter. I felt more at ease. I was like, I'm not flooded with all this information about what I should and shouldn't do or comparison or whatever, you know. I was just like, I get to connect back to me again and, you know, I don't really have to worry about getting it right or getting it wrong. So it was just this huge relief. I don't normally give out life hacks as a therapist, but if there's one life hack, it's to unfollow things.
Yes, 100%. And I think that really helped in the connection back to you as well, didn't it? In that moment, yes. When we had done all that work. There was also, I know we kind of touched upon this at the beginning, we did do a little bit more work on money and money allowing to flow to you and what that felt like and how that was. And I know we really changed how you viewed money and how you showed up to money in the relationship that you have with money. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's made me realize a lot where, like, much of these money issues weren't mine to begin with. They were handed down from generations of people. So I've been able to give them back. And I know that you said at one session that you trained yourself to say money always finds me. So now, like, whenever I see a deposit in my account or whenever I see someone make a buy, I'm like, there you go, money always finds me. And yeah, it still feels quite new to not be as stressed. And also, like, looking at my account, it's vacation time in Sweden, like no one buys anything right now. But when I see my account, I'm like, so it's that number, you know, it's like, it's not, I don't attach a meaning to that number as much, more that I'm like looking forward and thinking, you know, maybe planning ahead something and planning a launch in September. So, and I'm like, it's money always finds me. It's going to be sorted, you know, that's a number. It doesn't mean anything. Those are just some numbers on the screen. And, you know, I don't feel the anxiety I used to feel about it.
Amazing. Oh, which I know was
huge.
Like literally part and parcel of your everyday waking hour.
Very much so, let's be honest.
Yeah. So that is incredible to hear. How did it feel being in the container with like having someone listening to you and reflecting back what you couldn't give to yourself in that moment that you needed?
I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, I say this to my clients also. I also work with like the parts work that you do. And the thing about the parts is that they're very sneaky. They hide from us and make us think they're our personality. And I was very stuck in, I was too close to it. I was in my own way. I couldn't see that I was in a part. I believed that that was who I was. So to have someone to actually point that out, I thought you were a pain in the butt sometimes. But then afterwards, I'm like, of course this was a part. Of course, how could I not see that? And that kind of reminds me also how hard it is to kind of do this work for yourself.
Yeah, as a client. Yeah.
Because you really need someone else to point out to see the patterns that you're kind of blind to. So that was very, very helpful. Even though
I love that.
You were a pain in the butt sometimes.
No, I know. And every client who's listening to this will be like, yes, Becky has pissed me off quite a few times in this container.
It was like, no, this is not a part. And then I was like,
you are wrong.
She's right.
You're on to me. Yeah. It's when the parts know that they know that I know.
They get
and we know where we're going. Yeah. What surprised you most about our work together?
Well, I must say, even from this is who I am now in the first container we did. I mean, that was in August and September, I think, of last year. And I remember like December, January, something happened in my business. And I was like, wow, this would not have happened if I hadn't talked to Beck. This would not have happened. I would not be here. I would not do this. So it was kind of the gift that kept on giving. And that's still like the work we did is not only isolated to our conversations, that it keeps happening. It keeps happening. It keeps challenging. Even though I'm out of the container now, I still feel things are happening. So it kind of sets you on a tangent. It sets you on a road. It kind of you know, our meeting is like the fork in the road, and then I just find a new path, and I kind of propel on it, you know. So it's just that, so that surprised me that it keeps happening even though we're not talking anymore like that.
The gift that keeps on giving. I like that.
The gift that keeps on giving. Yeah, that's sick. Yeah, tie her up in a bow.
I love that. If someone feels like perhaps they've either, you know, lost themselves inside their business, or they're waiting to feel inspired again, or, you know, things that we've been speaking about today, the way that you felt before you came into this container, what would you want them to know?
Get out of your own way. And even if that means that you need someone to help you get out of your own way, because the only thing that's blocking you is you, to be honest. That's the only thing. And it's hard to see that because you're too close to it.
Yes.
So if you feel stuck, you probably need someone else's perspective.
And that is so powerful. You know, even I need someone else's, you know, even coaches that coach coaches of coaches of coaches need someone else's perspective, exactly. Don't they? And finally, to wrap us up, if someone is thinking, I think Rebecca might be the person that I need, what would you say to them?
Yeah, well, it would be silly not to listen to that voice. I'm just saying it would be the gift that keeps on giving. You know, you will be propelled into a path that you may not have. Well, you may have gotten there, but it would have taken a lot more time and energy and, you know, anxiety and overwhelm. So it would just be silly not to.
Yes, I love that. What does day to day look like now?
Well, I work intentionally. My big aha moment. Yeah. So it's like, I do feel sometimes I am stressed, I do go into multitasking, and then I catch myself, and then it's like, no, go back. Do one thing at a time, do that with intention. There's a lot less money stress. There's a lot more trust in my abilities. I'm more self-led from within, not, you know, what other people are doing. It's like I go to me first. And also Sparky Sparks leads the way. Sparky Sparks needs to go first. Strategy can come, but it can't lead because I need to have fun. I need to have fun. I'm supposed to have fun. Actually, Sparky says that, so that's
what
true.
It is. Yeah. That's what it is. And I do believe everyone else should be nodding their head as well now.
Yes. If you're not having fun, you're not going to last.
No. And what's the point? What's the point in bringing your business to the world? And I think that's, you know, one of the biggest things that we talked about was how everything other than the business, in the way of like the things that we do and coaching clients and, you know, you being there with your clients, that's still, you know, your love, but actually making these other parts of your business speak to that love is just the way forward sustainably, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. I get to bring that part, the part who loves really helping and enabling people. I get to bring that part into my marketing as well.
Yes, 100%.
It's not a chore. It's not, a necessary evil. It's something that I can enjoy doing if I do it from within.
Yeah. Lovely ending. I love that. Thank you so much for letting me put a magnifying glass to our time together. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I have loved chatting with you.
So have I.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're loving these conversations, make sure you are subscribed to The Subconscious Expert and come connect with me on Instagram @_RebeccaHayden_. I'll see you next time on The Subconscious Expert.